The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Monday, 25th day of June 2018. And that shocks me. Does it feel like we've burned through half a year so far, folks? 2018? I'm still saying 2017 sometimes on air when I'm looking at something and not really concentrating on what I'm saying. Just repetitively in my own mind, I think we're in 2017 or 2016. Somebody hit the fast forward on the VCR of life. Steve Elkins from God's Waiting Room to
yes,
our
sir.
Ears. How are you?
Just another day in paradise out here.
Who was just in studio here? Bob Tuscan from God's Waiting Room.
Oh my God!
Yeah, Bob he's going to be—he's going to be on the air with us tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So stay tuned for that. He's got a new documentary that's out, and there are other things to discuss with him. Friendly Jewish guy from God's Waiting Room. Hey, you asked me, you know, what's the direction, and you know how I do programming.
Mm-hmm.
Julie, is it time to do my chocolate bunny joke? No, she says. I had the perfect setup for a perfect joke on air, and she thwarted it. And she sits on this network like Mother Hen, has her clutch of eggs. She won't let me tell the joke on air. And I had a perfect setup by our friend from Germany, Harley Schlanger, talking about pulling rabbits out of your hat. And I come up with this kind of inventive but slightly off-color joke, and she said, you better not do that. So I'm following her wishes. The joke you never heard, folks. But you are going to hear this today. Now, she's staring through the window at me, the studio window. Now, did I tell the joke? Yeah. She's giving me the thumbs up. If I came that close, is she out of the room yet? Denzel Washington, your opinion of Mr. Washington, Mr. Elkins?
I haven't heard his political view as an actor. I think he's a pretty darn good actor. I like a lot of his movies. I think he's a fine actor. But then again, I'm finding a lot of people are fine actors, but when they come out politically, I totally disagree with them. And, you know, I don't have a problem with disagreeing with people's politics. I really don't. But let's do it in a professional, ethical manner. Mm. When De Niro came out and made a total fool out of himself and said F Trump, and people liked Ashley Judd, the nasty woman, you know, they kind of ruin it for themselves. I don't think they're smart enough to figure out they're ruining their careers. But we can all disagree politically, but let's be respectful. And the office of presidency is an office of respect, and he certainly has no respect. I disagree with Trump on a lot of things. You know how I feel about this situation.
Julie, would you like to do your Ashley Judd imitation? She did it. She did it perfectly. I had a hard time picking myself up up off the floor in the office here. Well, not only De Niro took the opportunity to do this in front of a large crowd, and what amazed me is a standing ovation. Now,
yeah, but you know the crowd he's speaking to.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, but okay.
It's Hollyweird. It's Hollyweird.
Yeah, but there's something that no, Steve. And this is one of the subject matter that I wanted to talk about today. This isn't just politics. This is kind of identity politics, but it's nothing. They're not judging anybody on their performance as an elected leader or as we refer to them as a politician. Right. No, this is a battle of ideologies. Right. They don't know. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, what did the Wicked Witch of the West here just come out and say? Maxine Waters. Yeah. I mean, it's so bad in the Democratic Party that Dianne Feinstein had to come out and condemn the other Wicked Witch of the West. This is, we're at a point in this country that this is not about the individual. This is not about body politic. This is, it's kind of like a theology. It's kind of like a belief, but when you question these people that are on board with this belief system, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't know what they're standing for or standing against. The only thing they know, Trump is a racist, and anybody that voted for Trump was a racist, and that's just absolutely not true. But here's the deal. It is out there on Jump Street. It is in people's faces. And Steve, this is starting to backfire.
Oh, yeah.
Finally starting to backfire. So people like Denzel Washington that may speak, by the way, I think Denzel Washington and Sidney Poitier is probably the best black actors of our generation.
Morgan Freeman, too.
Oh, and let me not forget Morgan Freeman.
Yes. I actually agree with his politics. He's actually a conservative.
Yeah.
Freeman is. So they don't like him now either. So he's on the banned list now.
Yeah, but he's got enough money. He doesn't care whether they like him or not. That's and true. I suspect the same thing with Denzel Washington, because they see what's happening to people that will go against the grain, that will speak out. And it's against the collective, if you will. But Denzel Washington, this is part of this is from, let me dial this up, on fake news and information overload. And he did this on the BBC News. And there are other people in here, Ben Halpert, Simon Sinek, Joe Rogan, Elliot Hulse. It is only 5 minutes and 15 seconds long, folks. But listen to what Mr. Washington is speaking about. This is very, very timely.
People have to understand, are you using your device or is your device using you? Can you put it down? Can you turn it off?
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
So what do you do?
That's a great question. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true anymore. So what a responsibility you all have to tell the truth. Not just to be first, but to tell the truth. We live in a society now where it's just first. Who cares? Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who we destroy. We don't care if it's true. Just say it. Sell it.
My biggest concern is the unfettered access to social media and cell phones, quite frankly. Because there's a biology to these things that are as addictive as alcohol, nicotine, and gambling.
Right now, a family is out to dinner at a restaurant, not enjoying each other's company, but each staring into the screen of their choice, completely ignoring the family members. And this is mom, dad, and the children all doing the same thing while they continue to eat. They did it the entire meal. Right now, an infant is getting their first iPhone and learning to tap and swipe all while drooling on it. 92% of two-year-olds play video games because that is what parents are putting in front of their precious children to keep them entertained and quiet.
This is your life now. No natural behavior. Everybody's wearing clothes they don't want to wear. Everybody's showing up and doing something they don't want to do. They have no connection to. That's the problem with our society. And then what's the reward for all this stuff? Go home, get a big TV. Go home, you're going to get a shiny belt buckle. You're going to get a nice purse. You're going to wear shoes that you couldn't afford last week. You're going to get that dream car. And every week we're chasing down this new object. And every week we're trying to fill this hole in this sad shadow of a life that we've been left with after work. That you work 8 to whatever to hours a day plus commuting. And then you're like this. And that's your life. That's your real life. All that other stuff is not your life anymore. All that other stuff is work. And most of us have committed to that. I know you've been there before, and I've been there before. And we understand that it's a trap because we got out of it. But for the people that are in it, a lot of times they don't even understand it's a trap. They just think it's a good job. They think they got dental. I'm doing really good. I got my own parking spot. It's got my name on it. And you're just a piece of a heartless, shitty machine that makes money.
All these kids that are graduating college with these $80,000 degrees that can't even work at Starbucks. All the people who put their money in the stock market and bought all this real estate 2008, it all went away. Don't let anybody fool you into believing that there's a guarantee, that there's a safe way. The well-trodden path is the scariest way, in my opinion. Right? Because then you just spent the last 80 years of your life doing everything that everybody else told you to do, and you never really lived or produced anything unique. If everybody's going this way, go that way.
We now know that many of the major social media companies hire individuals called attention engineers who borrow principles from Las Vegas casino gambling, among other places, to try to make these products as addictive as possible.
In South Korea, internet addiction is classified along with alcohol, cigarettes, and gambling as an addiction.
You know, it's about balance. It's not that they're inherently bad, and it's not that texting or social media is inherently bad, but it's when it gets out of balance. If somebody carries their phone wherever they go, like they physically feel anxiety if they put it down, when they're with their friends and have to have it up the entire time looking at the phone while they're with their friends, you know, when they wake up in the morning and check their phone before they say good morning to the person sleeping next to them, these are problems. This is out of balance.
I'm not knocking the phone. What I'm saying is we have to understand, we have to at least ask ourselves around the world, you here in England, wherever you are, what is it doing to us?
It's turning us into mindless little zombies. And it used to be the transmission belt for propaganda was your television. It's not anymore. It's cyberspace. It's the cloud. It's what everybody is hooked to, and they can't get away from it. Denzel Washington, you got my vote. You want to run for president? I'll vote for you. Want to run as vice president, and Mike Pence can go back to being Mike Pence, whatever the hell that was, before he became vice president. This is the issue now. Steve, do you have any doubts that 5G is going to be halted?
No, it's not. Actually, in California, they're putting up those little poles now up and down the street to bring that 5G technology, which Eric Wendheim, who had on my show, well, I actually had him on your show back in July. Yeah, that was almost a year ago. And we're talking about electromagnetic frequency, and it's going to increase. We're going to see more health concerns, and it's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. You know, I've actually experienced that, being in the airport and looking over and seeing an entire family sitting there, five people, mm-hmm. all on their little devices and not one talking to each other. It's amazing. It's amazing. They're just so out of touch.
And the conversation they're having with who knows who, is it that important? I was thinking about this today. You know, over the last 3 days, I've been doing kind of a personal inventory. You know, okay, John, you have time here. Sit down. Think about what you're doing, where you've been, where you're going, that kind of thing. Self-assessment. I'm assuming most people do that. Maybe they don't. But I was thinking about who I am. And I discovered that I'm a culmination of 26 years of what the hell is going on. I'm not a guy that was on the outside that had the ability to peek in every now and again to find out what was going on and then go on with my life. I wasn't that guy that had the 40-hour-a-week job that thought about, where am I going to vacation this year? Or are my health benefits there? Or is my dental plan good enough? All the things that Denzel Washington and those fine folks talked about, being in that provided scheme that thwarts one thing, the individuality, the ability to produce some idea that you have in your head, and all the lemmings are going down this fork of the road and you decide to go down the other. Well, I took the right path, the one less traveled. But I have been steeped in this, without exception, without break, for 26-plus years, probably closer to 30. And I'm watching what is going on, and there has to be an approach to shatter this containment, this glass bubble we find ourselves in. And I was also thinking, I remember the days that we had a telephone, and unless somebody picked it up when the damn thing rang, it went unanswered. Oh, and then we had recording machines. Okay, now you had to take the message. If you didn't want to take the call, you could turn your answering machine off or on. Well, maybe I'll just leave it on because there might be an important call that comes. And then we had beepers. And then we had cell phones. And then we had the smartphones. And now we're connected into their, for a lack, I guess, Steve, of explanation of what this is, it's a total mind sucker. Because I remember even having a beeper and looking and going, okay, well, this, I'm not near a phone. There was no cell phones. It's going to be a while till I can get back to this person. But I remember the day when the phone rang, you either picked it up or you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't email somebody. You sent snail mail that took a day or two, most often 2 days or 3 days, to arrive at its destination. The reply, if it was important enough, you might get a phone call, but the reply generally came back to you by way of mail. There's another 2-3 days. Not this instantaneous clash of, I need it now and I need it right now and you better give it to me right now. That's how most people are. They become impatient and they're thirsting for what? The useless tweet from my fellow coworker talking about absolutely nothing?
Yeah.
People are on an information overload. But they don't even realize anymore what information is important.
Right, right. You know, John, I'm probably just the opposite. I use my cell phone, my smartphone. I'm hitting that little button there with the microphone, and I'm asking it questions because I'm inquisitive. I'm thirsting for knowledge, and I want to know this and this, and I don't have time to go on the computer right away. And if I did, I'd do it probably just the internet way, the route. But I'll hit my phone and I'll ask it a question. I say, God, something medical. I got to know the question, the answer to this. So I use it for education. I really do. I'm not one of those people that just kind of farts around with it. I see more people doing it in that mode more so than myself, thirsting for knowledge. And that's what these young kids, I don't see them looking up things of knowledge.
No.
They're just, it's fun. It's tweeting my friends. I just saw you in school, and now I've got to tweet you? What's going on there? I mean, I just saw all you guys at school, and now I've got to go home and tweet you all. I mean, what a waste of time.
Well,
I mean,
I
tell you what, John, if I had the internet when I was a kid in high school, I would have got straight A's in high school. Straight A's, because the internet is such a great tool.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to do something, you Google it or whatever. I don't even use Google anymore. I use another search engine, but you'll find out somebody who will teach you how to do this math problem,
yeah,
or teach you how to do this or this. I would have had straight A's in school because the sites are there. It's amazing. Technology, we could use it to enhance our lives, but we're using it to go down.
Jerry in Chicago, hang on. I'll take you the first call after this first break. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, and riding shotgun with me is Steve Elkins from the land of, well, almost under.
In a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back. My mistake, Jerry in Chicago, which I told to call in. Didn't have time for him Thursday. I told him to call in tomorrow, and Mr. Hinckley was in for me Friday. So, my bad. 800-313-9443. I'm trying to gauge, Steve, where people's heads are at now. They have seen many changes in the last 15, 20 years. A lot of major changes, say, in the last 10 years. I keep hearing that the economy is doing great, yippee for us, but when you actually look at the numbers, and let me pull those up here real quickly. Inflation rate is at 10%. Unemployment, it's down from 21.5 to 21.4. And I think those numbers are a little bit light.
Yeah, I do too.
But we're being told, and this is the question I asked you before the program today, did you have an opportunity to just let that little thought cruise through your head? Because what I'd ask you is, how on God's green earth, now I already know the answer to this, I just want to know how it's done. Why is it that on cue, every talking head, and I don't give a damn what the news service is, what the satellite is, what the platform is. Don't care. Oh, unemployment's at 3.5%. Oh, there's 6 million jobs that we don't have workers to fill. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, this is like a globalist just wrote this script. Keep them fat, dumb, and happy. We're continuing to get them in debt. Tell them that the skies are brightening and let them chug on for another day, another week, another month. But this happened almost overnight. Even the great Sean Hannity. And I've yet to have anybody ask him the question, to pin his little sorry neoconservative butt to the wall. Excuse me, during the Trump campaign, when the stock market was only at 15, 16,000, and you were telling people that there's 92 million people out of work, I've yet to hear an explanation as to how the hell we got to 3.5% unemployment. It's like the robot, the little wind-up doll, or a little pull-string doll, they just went in there and changed the tape. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't either. I think if you ever find somebody in mainstream media, John, that actually would come out and say we're at 22 to 23, 25% unemployment, the truth that they're out of a job and they're doing this for a paycheck, just a paycheck, that's it. Hannity's not going to come out. I mean, you can ask him, 2,700 jobs in the last 2 years, 2,700 industries, retail industries, other industries, close their doors or cut the number of their stores down in size. And you have to say, well, if economy is doing well, then why did Radio Shack go out of business completely? Why did Circuit City disappear? Why is Macy's going under? Why is Sears on the edge of going under? Why are all these major industries, retail industries, who've been around for a long, long time, why are they going out? Why are they closing the doors? And it's not because Amazon, we're all shopping on Amazon, because no,
right.
We're not.
That's
we're
right.
not. So, you know, they're not going to answer that question, and nobody's going to ask the question, but you know what? I told you off air that when it hits the fan, people are going to say, wait a minute here. You told us 3.5% and things were okay. Well, the stock market's it's all over the place again right now, which I got to say something's coming up. Something is coming up. We see these, you know, these big fluctuations like this. And the question I asked you today was Trump mentioned last week about wanting to be the greatest military force on the planet, and now including the space. So he's wanting to militarize space, nukes in space, which is scary enough that's down here on Earth to have nukes in space. So my question to you was, is this an economic stimulus package type thing to trickle down effect with military? Because
I know
you said that, but My question was, you know, is it possible he's thinking that, or is he just telling the people in the military-industrial complex what they want to hear? But, you know, some people believe that if the military does well, the industrial complex does well, the military-industrial complex does well, there'll be a trickle-down effect, and everybody around that will do well. Well, that's not true. Only the people actually in the business of war will do well.
Yeah.
Everybody else will sacrifice and have to give. So, no, there won't be a trickle-down effect with this. But, you know, I talked about this on my program on Sunday, an $800 billion a year military defense budget. What do you think this – if this thing kicks off, John, this military one in space, what do you think that's going to cost? What's the price tag on that?
Who knows, but I can tell you this. Only a few people are going to benefit because it doesn't take a gazillion people – to put a new widget into space for whatever. And Donald Trump should be the one that he's open to talking to the Chinese leader, to the Russian leader, to North Korea. The guy is the art of the deal. He likes to converse. He likes to talk. And he's got to realize and got to know that why kick off more paranoia and more fear? Why kick off another potential arms race, so to speak, with a brand new front of technology? It makes no sense. It may be that he's giving lip service to them to keep them quiet. I personally believe, Steve, that he wants to get the hell out of the Middle East. They just last week said, hey, we're not funding Daesh or ISIS anymore. And guess what Syria just did? Moved in the southwest of their country and cleaning up the rest of the crap over there that we caused. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Something else that isn't working is you got to give up your guns. Oh, my God, look at the children. Oh, woe is us. And it ain't working. It ain't working.
You know, John, before you left, before the break, you mentioned about kicking off another race, another weapons race in space.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct. Everybody's going to be running for it. I've got to have it now. This country has to have it. And this country has to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in the business of what? We're still in the same business of war.
Mm-hmm.
Endless, continuous, endless wars. The space race now, the weapons and nukes in space, the nukes on the ground. We never get off this train of continuous war. We never get off.
Well, and a lot of people didn't like when I told them that all of but 4 years in this country's entire history have we known peace. Four lousy years. That's it. That's what we are. That's what we have done. That's what we continue to do. And on bigger scale. You know, I mean, I'm supposed to feel bad about a Mexican parent's, you know, the child being ripped from their arms. I don't hear the media going, you know, we give a lot to Humane Society. We adopt puppies and kitties. And, oh, by the way, there's been 4 million people killed in the Middle East in the last 16 years. And you know what? Probably a million plus were children, innocent children. No, they weren't ripped from their mother's and father's arms. They were just blown up in place.
Yeah, they're not talking about the Palestinian children. They're not talking about the Syrian children. They're talking about the Iraqi children, the Iranian children, Afghanistan. Yeah, all our illegal wars and all the bombs we've dropped and all the homeless people and all the kids who have no mother or no father. No tears for them. No tears for them. Tears for these kids in the cages. And by the way, they're not in cages, really. This is a joke. You know, I actually talked about this a little bit on Sunday, and I had some callers calling in and talking about this this wardrobe that Melania Trump had. And I was told by one listener that it was a thumb in the eye, basically, to the mainstream media, which I didn't kind of get. I didn't get it at all. I'm a person of words, and if I got something to say, I'm going to say it. And I like people when they do that. I don't like somebody to be, you know, suggest this is what I'm trying to say with my statement. This is my statement. Say it. Say it. That's what I say. But why didn't the wardrobe, why didn't it said, I don't care. Do you? Why didn't it say, I care. Don't you? Or something like that. I don't know why that actually happened. The whole wardrobe thing and the tweet of Donald Trump saying it was basically directed at the mainstream media. I didn't quite understand that. Like I said, we're adults here. And she cares enough to go down there to this holding center. And I'm not going to call it detention center because that's exactly what they want to hold it as, a detention center. And it's like a little mini prison, like an Auschwitz, you know, concentration camp. It's not that. These kids are getting care. They're getting food. They're getting water. They're getting medical attention. They're getting better care than they ever had in their own country, for God's sakes.
Right.
So at $500 a pop, that's what I understand. It's costing $500 per person. This is a privatized entity here taking care of this issue, which somebody's cashing in big time on this. And I'd like to know who that is. I guess it was traced to some company in, I'm going to say, where is it, in the South somewhere? I think it was in Alabama, supposedly, that some company, just initials that the company taking over this little holding center here is cashing in big. They're somewhere in the South, so somewhere. But the point is, you know, she could have gone there, come back, shown the pictures, and really shoved it in their face, the mainstream media, and saying, here's what I found, here's the truth, you lied, you are the fake news. They see, they get really irritated when you call them the fake news, especially when you can show evidence to show that they really are the fake news, how biased they are. They hate this president so much. John, in our lifetime of presidents, have you ever seen a president that's been attacked? He's got a circle of fire all around him of sexual things, misconduct, Russian collusion, this. You know, I would almost understand if Donald Trump would say, the hell with you. I have no clue why I'm doing this. I did it because I wanted to make my country great again. And hell with this, throw in the towel, because this is not working. We got another year and a half, and he's not getting what he wants done because he's being stopped at every avenue here. Even his own party is throwing things in his pathway to stop him. This so far, I got to say, this is a disastrous presidency, a disaster. And we have another year and a half to go. He can forget about 2020. It's over. It's not going to happen.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. Because I would suggest, and to the listeners, get me Roger Stone. It was a documentary. It was done. I had absolutely no idea the history of Roger Stone. Now, after watching that, I understand why Alex is doing what he's doing. He's been stoned. But at any rate, this guy was in the Nixon White House. This guy was in the Reagan White House. He was in the Bush White House. The dirty trickster kind of guy that he really is. There are some out there that are claiming that this is the reason why we didn't have Al Gore as president. We had George Bush Jr. About the vote count and all this other stuff. It was disrupted. But this guy cashed in after getting Ronald Reagan elected a large part of it. What did he open up? He was in on the deep state with Donald Trump, but he was part of the deep state. He was actually in the lobbying game, and he was one of the biggest after Ronald Reagan. And by the way, the one of the taglines for Ronald Reagan's race for presidency, "We're going to make America great again." That was Ronald Reagan, 1980. Here we are, 2018. Where are we at? And what you're suggesting here, and I fully agree with, Steve, is that there are those that want the status quo to remain. They may not necessarily be against Donald Trump personally, but they don't like the direction of the control and the influence that they have opened up their doors, and the guys in the $3,000 suits and $1,000 briefcases march in on a regular basis. They don't want this to change. This is not about governing for the sake of the American people. It's about running a government, and what the hell can I get out of this? Roger Stone is part of that deep state. He understands it better than anybody else because he's played the game. When Donald Trump was alluding to, "Yeah, I know how this influence peddling works because I used it myself." Well, guess who's been friends? Roger Stone's been friends with Donald Trump since the 80s. He wanted him to run for president. I think he approached him in 1988 and 1989, wanted him to run for president. Roger Stone knows how the game is played. Now, who is Roger Stone? I'll leave that up to the people to decide who this guy is. But I understand what he was, what he was doing, where he was doing it, how long he's been doing it. And basically, he pretty much, I won't say got Donald Trump elected, but there was a suggestion that was made. But Donald, listen to what the people are saying. Echo it. You got the bully pulpit now. You're by yourself. You're the only one there. You're running against Hillary. Shout it loud and keep shouting it. Donald Trump, 2020. I don't know that he's going to run in 2020. I don't know if somebody's going to be smart enough that's honest, that's going to step in and pick up where Donald Trump left off. But it's identity politics now, Steve. Doesn't matter. It's the other side, and they're at fault. But having said that, you've got a constituency inside the Republican Party that doesn't want a damn thing change because it serves their interest. You have the left that they have completely shot themselves in the foot. And by the way, has everybody noticed how easy it is to spot these people? They're all in. They are all in. Just take a look what happened in the past several days with, I don't know, the White House spokesperson there. What the hell's her name? Thank you. Hera Huckabee Sanders, where she was refused service at a... really?
Yes.
Oh, if we would have treated Obama like people are treating Donald Trump, I think the Civil War would have broke out years ago.
Yeah.
But we have demonstrated that we're trying to take a higher ground. We're trying to keep our eye on the ball. We're trying for good governance. We know what works. We know what doesn't work. And these people are completely lost. So if somebody is smart, but it's the usual, it's the usual swamp creatures, they'll go in there and suggest that you run this guy. You run him because of the demographics, what he stood for, what his record is, but more importantly, how he can schmooze and bamboozle. And, you know, it's always connected with money, and money wins. Always. Right. That's what Roger Stone was about. This guy made millions out of the game.
You know, John, I had a caller over the weekend, and he emphasized the deep state, of course, working for Israel. And he said if we were to shake Israel completely, cut them off and take our control of our government back again. Well, first of all, it'd be awful hard to do because the deep state is, I think, actually working for Israel. So, but you mentioned a man strong enough, a president strong enough to take control. And you and I mentioned, I said, did Eisenhower smooch Israel's fanny? And you said, yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. But we've seen presidents who don't smooch Israel. What happens to them? JFK.
Toe tag.
Yeah, that's what happens. And so that tie there, that stranglehold, that control Israel has on the United States. We got to break that control. We got to sever the tie somehow, some way. Is there a man strong enough on this planet to do it?
Donald Trump, you know, like him or hate him, you know, and the lesser of two evils, that argument, yeah, I get all that. But he garnered the people's attention. He focused on what the problems are, the dissatisfaction of the American people, and he got the presidency over it. He got Democrats that looked at Hillary Clinton and goes, you know, no, I'm voting for Donald Trump.
Let me ask you something, John. If Debbie Wasserman Schultz hadn't rigged the primaries for Hillary against Bernie Sanders, you think, I mean, our population, a lot of these young people are voting. They would have been socialists. They would have been Bernie Sanders fans. Do you think Trump could have beat Sanders if he wasn't cheated? You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I think it would have been close.
And I think we have a third party run, independent, and I think it would have been a little bit tighter if he had not been there.
I think it would have been close.
Yeah, it would have been real close. It would have been a coin toss in which way is the political wind blowing today.
Yeah.
But Roger Stone was also involved in this. Remember the Pat Buchanan run? Third party, independent?
Right.
He was in there to derail Pat Buchanan. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people like Pat Buchanan. But Pat Buchanan got his proverbial political back broken by Roger Stone. Chuck in Texas. Hello, Chuck. Thanks for holding.
Hey, buddy. Let me take you off a speaker here. Sorry. Give me just a second. This iPhone doesn't work well on speaker. Guys, I've been listening to you, and I am sorry you keep giving Trump a pass on everything he has done. If we took what Trump has done, okay, beyond the talk, because he talks, and then he turns around, flips around, and sells out at the last minute. If we really looked at it, if you really look at it, and put Obama's face on it, we'd be raising hell. I am beginning to realize, now don't react and get all excited on me.
No, I'm going to sleep right now. Thanks for waking me up.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I say this, you know, I just don't want you saying, oh, hell with you and hang up on me. And I know you don't do that, John. You know, that's not
Chuck, your style. I have never done that.
I know. It's not your
style. Wait a minute. Let me get the microphone back in front of my Chuck, face.
But, Chuck, I don't think...
My nose is growing.
Chuck, we're not giving him a pass at all. No. I'm not on the Trump train. I've been off for a long, long time. I'm holding him accountable. I'm not happy with him. I'm not happy with him at all.
Let me back up. Saying that his you know that his own party is fighting him. He's working with them. The kabuki dance of him getting elected was to have the perfect puppet for one cycle. We're going to help you get elected, and we're going to act like we hate you, and you're going to get under attack. None of the charges against him are prosecutable. Collusion is not prosecutable. Tell me one thing. So it's all, oh, look how much the press hates Trump. Really? Come on. While he pushes every agenda that the New World Order wants.
Really? Chuck, I'll let you talk as much as you want. And I'm not going to yell and scream and hang up on you.
Okay. Yeah.
But do you think Barack Obama... Okay, if let's just say that these things, rather than his last term, the free trade agreements, Donald Trump said no to that. You didn't hear Barack Obama saying, you know, we got too many Mexicans and too many other than Mexicans coming into this country. Oh, by the way, we had the banking system blow up under whose watch? What did the man do or say about that? He did nothing.
This timing. Wait till it happens under
Hold on, Trump.
They're going to bail him out again.
All right. Are you? I told you I would let you talk. Let me make my points here. Okay?
Okay.
All right, good. The issue of jobs. This tariff thing is now blowing up. Did you see the stock market today? Now, this should have never happened. If there was any trade agreements to be made, they should have been made fairly. What do we get? We know what you're going to get. What do we get? That was not in the inclusion of these trade talks. It was about money, how fast, where's the cheapest resource, where can... And that happened. Trump has put everybody on notice. China today said, you know, $50 billion, hey, we're going to come right back at you. Okay, go ahead. Canada's not happy with us. Mexico's not happy with us. He called out everybody. Everybody that's got unfair trade practices with the United States, we're here to give notice. We're going to renegotiate with you, but it's got to be fair. Do you think that Hillary Clinton would have done that? Do you think Barack Obama? And I'm with Steve here. Cut that break. I'm with Steve here. I'm not totally on the Trump train because every time Trump does something good, he does something equally bad. I get that and understand it. But I don't know, Chuck, what you're suggesting, that this was all a big collusionary game just to get in there and back him, to make him president. No, he did.
What I am suggesting is that all of this is just pre-planned theater.
I don't think so.
Look at what he has done. Oh, he talks and he talks.
Okay,
and
what's so bad? Oh, but, you've said that three times. What has he done that has been so bad?
Don't yell over me.
Chuck,
don't yell over me.
Chuck, I'm don't asking. You've made that statement three times. I just want to get some content from you. What has he done that's so horribly bad?
He's leaving Sessions in there. Number one. Why? Why? They serve at his pleasure, and they're protecting Hillary. Why is Sessions still the Attorney General? It's like, oh yeah, he's just too stupid to understand that Sessions is Hillary's, you know, butt boy. Come on. Is a man that stupid, or was this planned for, okay, hey, Trump, yeah, we're going to let you get in, and everybody's going to hate you, and the conservatives will shut down, the resistance will shut down. You can do stuff that Obama would never be able to get away with, and nobody will fight you on it from the right.
Okay, I'm asking you for example, Chuck, and you give me the Attorney
General. Okay, hitting Syria. We've got, you know, I mean, war coming with Iran. We've got war coming
with everybody. Okay.
And
where are you getting we're going to war with Iran? I still hear some of the pocket Chuck. I still hear some of the pocket generals going, you know, and Iran's got to comply or otherwise there might be war. Do you know what came out last week on the issue of Syria? We're not funding you, ISIS or Daesh anymore. We're not funding you. The Russian military, once again, has stepped up its airstrikes. Syria is now taking... Listen to me, please. Well, then shut up, Chuck. Okay? I'm not going to hang up on you, and you're going to make me angry.
Have we pulled our troops out?
How much longer must this circus continue, Mike?
Have we pulled our troops out of Syria? Reality. What happened?
You know,
we're
not
going to support you, but our troops are still there.
Do you know what was?
We're not happy about that,
Chuck.
We're not happy about that,
Chuck.
Trump's doing something when he's just talking about it. He says one thing and does another.
All right,
our
Chuck,
troops are still there.
I vote for you. I vote for you for president in the next cycle.
Our troops are still there.
And you know what?
I just pointed out a fallacy in what you said.
No, Chuck.
Propaganda is
Chuck,
this.
Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
This.
Pull him down. When I'm trying to talk, if he doesn't have the courtesy to shut the hell up, then just pull him down. All right, Chuck, did you hear what I just said? This Syria game has been going on for a while. 16 years of let's go in for next to no reason and smash whatever we want. Trump, I won't say, is the complete antithesis to this. But he has stepped out of the way. He is no longer funding ISIS. Russia has stepped up its bombing campaign to get rid of the resistance. We're no longer funding the opposition in Syria. He's also turned down deals. Little deals have been thrown Assad's way. Well, you know what? If you play the game this way, you know, we're going to give you this in trade. Assad has said no. I can garner enough support to rebuild my country. Right now, I'm getting rid of what you helped create. Donald Trump has effectively pulled back on this. Will the troops come out of Syria? Yeah. Syrian President Assad has total control of his country. The only thing he's got to do is pick up the phone and tell the President of the United States, get these people the hell out of here. We're a sovereign nation. Go ahead, Chuck.
Is it my turn? Okay.
You know,
now,
Chuck,
this morning, I was reading, yes, the Syrians are moving into areas where American troops are. Why are we there? If we're not going to support and supply ISIS, why are we there? Because the only place that ISIS survives is where American troops are. Now, do we want this confrontation? Will we actually leave?
I think eventually we will. Because
eventually. Oh, more hope. More hope.
All right, Chuck. You know, this is fruitless.
No, having this argument with you. He promises you and then lies to you, and you continue to trust him.
All right, Chuck. I'm sorry to lose you as a listener, because obviously you don't give a damn what anybody feels or what they say or their opinion after burying themselves up to their keisters in this stuff.
I just look at reality.
You've got a very narrow reality going on here.
No, I look at what is actually on the ground. Do we have armed American troops in Syria, yes or no?
Yes, we do.
Why?
Why are we in Yemen?
Why?
We're in Yemen.
Why?
We're in so many different places, Chuck. We're all over the flipping planet.
I don't know. Chuck, do you know? Chuck, do you know? Do you know?
We're in Yemen. We're everywhere.
Because we intend to do as our masters Israel says, and that's start a war with Syria.
You know what? I don't think that's exactly working out, Chuck, because Israel is now starting to bomb Syria. The United States troops are no longer engaging Assad's troops. ISIS is having their ass kicked. They're not being funded anymore. I see it as a desperation move on Israel's part to start going after Syria.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we agree with something.
And when they do, will we come in to defend Israel when Israel provoked the fight?
Sure they will.
Okay.
Yes,
they really will.
Because Israel owns the United States. Yes, Israel. We've already said it. Our government's already said they're our good friends. And I disagree with it, but yes, I guarantee you the United States will go defend Israel if they start a war. Yes.
Yes. We have a
and I don't like it, but it's going to happen. You watch.
I don't think there's going to be broad-based support like there was for George Bush.
No, there won't
George
be support
Bush
for it, but they'll do it.
Or Obama.
Yeah, there won't be support for it, but they'll do it. And then demand our loyalty.
Yes, and pay for it. Yes,
and absolutely. I mean, really, on base, we really understand and agree with each other. I have just lost all faith in Trump. That's the only thing that we may disagree with. I think Trump is a traitor. I think he was a traitor going in. I think this was all rigged up. And if we, you know, he's going to do his one term, and then they're going to hand it to Pence, who is even worse.
Nobody's going to vote for Pence.
And then we get another Democrat.
And there's nobody going to vote for any damn Democrat. They're trying to distance themselves, and they can't do it. They're stuck in their own mire. Chuck, thank you for your call.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.